Okay, I'm going to talk about a reading for week two of CMS 614, Where Are the Missing Masses by Bruno Latour. This is from 1992, and we were just reading a few pages from this chapter. So Latour begins with an anecdote where it was basically just like really impossible for him to break the law. He was trying to drive without fastening a seatbelt, and the car's mechanisms made it really annoying for him to do so. You know, it'd beep at him, maybe like other things would get in the way. And so he poses this question of, like, where is the morality? Is it in him, the human driver, or is it in the artifact? And it's in the artifact. So he uses this phrase, a law of the excluded middle, to describe what has happened here. He, the middle, has been excluded, but if he did something like unlinking a switch and a sensor, like modifying the system, then the excluded middle is back in. So yeah, he cannot be bad anymore because the system is built this way. And why is he telling this anecdote? Well, like physicists and cosmologists, sociologists have also been looking for this thing called the quote-unquote missing mass. He describes this as social links sturdy enough to tie us all together, or moral laws that would be inflexible enough to make us all behave properly. And one reason why sociologists have been having a difficult time finding this missing mass is because they've been overlooking something that's right in front of them, and that is non-humans. It's mundane objects, and it's really in these objects that we owe much of the morality in the world. This is the missing mass, right? So then he spends a bit of time talking about doors as an example. So he was inspired by seeing a sign on the La Halle aux Coeurs in La Villette in Paris that said, the groom is on strike, for God's sake, keep the door closed, where groom is Franglish for an automated door closer or butler. So this was a really evocative fusion of labor relations, religion, advertisement, and technique in one insignificant artifact. And that's what inspires this description of a door section. So he literally defines what a door is, and, you know, it's like a hole in the wall, really, really clever invention, and it has a hinge. So he talks about how do you size up the work done by hinges, or the work done by some other non-human object in general? Well, the way you do that is you imagine that every time you want to get in and out of a building, you have to do the same work as, like, a prisoner trying to escape or as a gangster trying to rob a bank. So if you were to divide a sheet of paper into a left and right-hand column, and on the left-hand side, you write down what you have to do with a door. And then on the right-hand side, you write down the equivalent thing, like trying to solve the same problems, but like doors don't exist. Obviously, the right-hand column is going to be a lot longer. It's going to be a lot more difficult because doors make a lot of things easier for us. And Latour calls this shift a few different words, but he usually calls it delegation. But there's also like displacement, translation, and shifting. And yeah, so we're going to delve into this delegation idea more. Latour talks about delegation to humans and then delegation to non-humans. So continuing this door example, there's a problem with doors, which is that people use them, but then the door remains open. So one dilemma that we have about how to solve this is that you can either discipline people to always close the door, or since people are pretty unreliable, we can have a delegated human character whose only function is to open and close the door. This can be a groom, a porter, a gatekeeper, janitor, concierge, whatever. But this is not a great solution, right? Because if the La Halle aux Coeurs or any other institution has to pay for a porter, they have less money to do other things that are probably more interesting and fruitful. And what if this, you know, underpaid, very kind of like low-skilled porter decides to leave his post for even a few minutes, then the whole system is very susceptible to breaking down. And not only that, but this delegated human character has the opposite effect than that of a hinge. A simple task is now performed at an incredible cost. The minimum effect is obtained with maximum spending and discipline. Additionally, In addition to a reversal of forces, we also have a modification of time schedule here. So when you install a hinge on a door, you put in all your effort up front, and then it saves you effort like forever down the line indefinitely. But with a groom or porter, every time the porter does their job, they're doing the same thing as they did, you know, like with every single other time. So the effort is not concentrated at the time of installation, the effort is continuous. And so when non-humans are appealed to, we also have this profound temporal shift. Latour says, quote unquote, time is folded. He also mentions like the first one, I think hinges being Newtonian, and then the second one being Aristotelian, which is another way of repeating that. The second is non-human and the other is human. Okay. All right. And then the final section is looking at delegation to non-humans instead. So, let's see. So instead of having a human porter or groom, we could have, for example, springs. And a basic spring sort of plays the role of a very rude, uneducated, and dumb porter who obviously prefers the wall version of the door to its hole version. They simply slam the door shut. What happens here is that the behavior imposed back onto the human by non-human delegates prescription. And prescription is the moral and ethical dimension of mechanisms. Latour says that no human is as relentlessly moral as a machine, and we've been able to delegate to non-humans not only force, but also values, duties, and ethics. And by having all of these non-human objects in our lives and in society, we have increased the sum of morality in the world, because so much of it comes from these objects that we imbue prescription and morality and ethics into. We can also encode prescriptions into words, for example, in instruction booklets and in the military. A lot of that experience is just like purely putting prescriptions into words so that people do tasks. And let's see. This is called distribution of competences between humans and non-humans. And the non-humans take over the selective attitudes of those who engineered them. Blah, blah, blah. He kind of talks about other non-human solutions, like a weak spring. He also talks about hydraulic door closers, which he quite likes, but, you know, it's not a perfect solution because people who are less able-bodied have a difficult time closing these hydraulic doors. And to use Langdon Winner's classic motto, because of their prescriptions, these doors discriminate against very little and very old persons. But, you know, there are ways to get around that too. And that is basically where the reading ends.